In teaching healing, we are a tough example. This is Thought for Today. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the Thought for Today. Now, you may smile at this statement. In teaching healing, we are a tough example, but it's not easy. It's not easy to teach healing, that is, to teach by demonstration. Basically, it's not easy to teach by demonstration because we see everyone whole and perfect. We see everyone not needing healing. People come to us and they say, I have a hurt. And you say, you're whole and perfect. Now, if we want to get compassionate and loving and gentle and concerned about the person, don't you know it hurts? No, I don't. You're whole and perfect. Don't you understand it hurts? It's so bad, you know, so I can't sleep at night, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And you say, my friend, why in the hell did you come to me? If you merely want me to hear your recitation of the problem, I am a solution maker. I am working with you on finding a solution for your problem. Now, I don't need to know what your problem is. I only need to know what the solution is. Don't you understand? It hurts. I'm not here to hear about your hurts. I'm not here to know about your problems. My work is to deal with your solutions. If you want me to hear about your problems and hear how terrible they are, I'm afraid I have a different rate structure. My rate structure is that of a psychiatrist or a psychologist who is working with you first on the problem so that you will happily tell the psychologist or psychiatrist all your problems and how terrible they are. And the psychiatrist will say, my God, this person really has a problem. This person really is in hell. This person really is having a problem. And it's true. It's true. Now, nothing wrong with the psychiatrist and psychologist. They fill a very important role. And the role is, I haven't made up my mind what I want to do. I haven't made up my mind whether I am enjoying this too much. And I love telling people how sad I am and how unhappy I am and how much problems I have, or whether I want to give it up and start living a life of wholeness and perfection and peace and honor and beauty. You know? In teaching healing, we're a tough example. And then they turned, this is the fun part. They turn to you, and they find your Achilles heel, and they say, but you've got a broken leg. But you, Mr. Counselor, you have a cold. You, Mr. Counselor, you have a terrible marriage. Your marriage is not working out very well at all. You, Mr. Counselor, look at your children, how rascals they are, you know. You, Mr. Counselor, look at your cancer that you're going through. Look at your this that you're going through. And you say, my friend, I am not here to discuss my problems with you. I am here to discuss your solutions with you. Now, I'm working on my problems, and I'm seeing them all whole and perfect, and I am clearing my consciousness of all of the problem thought and filling it with solution thought, and I am working these things out harmoniously to my own understanding. But If you're so damn good, why don't you get out of that wheelchair now? They say to you, you know. And you say to them, did you come here to learn healing techniques for yourself? Or did you come here to point out that I have not yet achieved all the goals I'm working on? What are you here for? What are you here for? Would you like me to tell you some of the wonderful experiences that I've had? How I have overcome this and overcome that and overcome the other thing. Would you like me to tell you that? Yes. I'm not going to. Because if I tell you that, I'm back there again. You know? If I tell you about my cancer that I overcame, I'm back there again. If I tell you about my arthritis or my pains that I had and don't have anymore, then I'm back there again. And I relive them. You don't realize how many wonderful gifts I have received by placing my consciousness on a higher level. I got work to do yet, but I'm doing great. I'm whole and perfect. And I'm living in that consciousness. Now, here, you have 10 things that are bothering you. Wouldn't it be nice just to click them off one by one? Tick, tick, tick. Get rid of the cold. Get rid of the bad relationships, the attitudes that you have about your marriage. Get rid of the problems you have with your children being obstreperous. Getting rid of getting rid of the cancer, getting rid of this. I don't want to name these things, but wouldn't it be nice just to click them off, getting rid of them? And then people come up to you and say, hey, you're a changed person. You're a happy person. What happened to your arthritis? What happened to your rheumatism? What happened to your cancer? What happened to this, that, and the other thing, you know? And they say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you don't know what I'm talking about. For the last 5 years, you were moaning about this, moaning about that, you know? What do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about? Well, that's the past. And I'm sorry, my friend, but I have another appointment. I'll see you later. And away you go. You will not surround yourself with people who will not let go of your past. And there are people like that. They don't want to let go of your past. Do you remember what I did for you as a child? Do you remember how I worked and slaved for you? Now, what do you care about me? Well, we have a lady in Switzerland, Irene. She's a treasure. And her mother was the mother who had this attitude. And Irene would go there and feel very sorry for her mother and feel very dutiful about her mother. And I told Irene, I said, let her die. What? Let her do this. Let her do that. What? No. And I said, Irene, are you going to keep her alive? Well, as long as I can. Well, then, why don't you keep her alive in a healthy mental attitude? But for years she said this and that, and she was unhappy about this and that. I said, yeah, that's over with now. I said, I'm here. So from this day forward, you look at your mom as the most wonderful, gentle, kind, loving, sensitive soul that you ever known in your life. You look at your mom as a caring person who loves her children beyond measure, which she does. I mean, I'm not telling you to make something up. I'm telling you to see beyond the appearances that you've seen. And so Irene did that. Not because I told her necessarily, but she was ready to hear it. And so she did that. And now she writes regularly. Her mom is a jewel. Her mom is a wonderful. Her mom cares about her. Her mom, and she can't say enough about her mom. And is her mom thinking about dying? Not one little bit. She's in a rest home and she's running the show. She's on top. Not negative. But, you know, if you're such a meanie, meanie, meanie old lady, do you think people would like you? No. And if you're not a meanie, meanie, meanie old lady, then people like you. Well, now, what's happening to her mommy? All the men who are in that rest home, in that ward, are waiting hand and foot on her. They're saying, Lydia, can I get you some tea? Lydia, would you like coffee? Lydia, would you like a fresh roll that just came in? Lydia, is there something? Lydia, can I push your wheelchair for you? Lydia, can I do this? I mean, you know, you got to have something going for you to create a world like that. And her daughter changed her mind about the appearances her mother was having. And her mother changed her mind about the life she was living. Perhaps she was living that all along, but we hadn't opened our eyes to see it. You see, you're a tough old tough master when you're working in the healing game, because you go in and you will not look at their appearances, because to look at their appearances only empowers those appearances to continue being, and that's tough. What you do is you look at the reality. Their divine original purity and simplicity, the original purity and integrity, the reality of the person. Can you see that? And it's not easy to do that because we are so accustomed to looking at appearances. Now, if you're a mother and you go in your child's room and you see your child's room a mess, nothing is put away, everything is lying on the floor, on the bed, in every possible place it could be other than where it should be. And you walk into your child's room, and now your child's going to think you're a stupid fool, but you walk into your child's room and you say, Josephine, I love you. And Josephine says, of course, you know. And then you say, Josephine, you are my favorite daughter. And there's several other daughters. Oh, I am so proud of you. You always want to do things that make me happy, and I'm sure they make you happy too. What's coming here? You are always so orderly. You put all your things away so nicely. I am so proud. You don't look at that room. You as a counselor, you as a mother, you don't look at that room. You look in your daughter's eyes and you say, you are so orderly. You always put everything away so nicely. And then get out of there. And the next day, you come back to the room or wherever you see your daughter. And you say, Josephine, I am so proud to have you as my daughter. You are the most orderly, loving, caring girl a mother could ever have. Thank you for being in my world. And get out of there. And the next day, do that. And the next day, do that. And the next day, do that. And within 1 week of your sincere recognition that your daughter is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, within 1 week, that daughter will have cleaned up her room because it's her nature. She will put away her clothes as though she always did. She will even wash and iron her clothes and put them away in the closet so that they will be beautiful. She will respect the whole house. And when she sees her younger brother throwing his toys around in the living room, he'll say to her younger brother, Jamie, you are a fantastic guy. I love you. And he'll look at her and say, yuck, you know. And then the next day, she'll say, Jamie, you know, you are an orderly person. I can see why mother is so proud of you. What? Mother's proud of me? And then the next day, she comes back. And this is how it happens. She'll say, Jamie, you are an example to everybody. You put your toys away when you're done playing with them, and you take care of your toys so they last. You don't toss them around so they break and stuff. You love your toys. You play with them so nicely. Then get out of there. And then the next day, she'll say the same thing. You know, once you have started the floodgates and opened them with one person, that one person will be an example to all the rest of the family in the same way, in a caring, loving way to bring it about. Now, please, this is what a practitioner is. A practitioner does not look at the appearance and say, what a crummy room, you never put anything away, it's always so, your clothes, you don't have any respect for your clothes, you know, exacerbating the problem. But you say to your daughter, you're fantastic, Josephine. You're glorious. I am so proud to have you as a daughter. And then leave. And you got her head buzzing. And the next day, when you see her again, or whenever you see her, Josephine, you are so orderly. Josephine, would you please take my shirt up to my closet and hang it up for me? I ask you because you're really a very caring, gentle girl, and I know that you'll do it so lovingly that my blouse will, you know, look real great. Oh, gee, Mom, you got a wrinkle here. Can I iron that out for you? Well, thank you very much. Now, you must iron this, you must do this, you must do. But thank you very much. You see, in no time at all, the illusion of the daughter who did not have any manners about her clothing and about her room and about her putting things away. She will do that, and then she will be an example for the rest of the class, the rest of the family, in a very loving way. And she will, when her father comes home and kicks off his shoes and sits in his chair, she'll say, "Dad, let me put your shoes away for you," so that they'll always be in the right place. "And Dad, where would you like me to put your shoes?" And he'll say, "Well, put them on the stoop in the front hall there, because that's where I usually like to put them on." "Oh, okay." "And then, Dad, why do you want them on the stoop in the front hall?" "Because that's where I usually put them on." "Oh, then I guess that's where you usually take them off then too, because I don't always see them here. I wondered where you kept them." "Yeah, sometimes I do." "Dad, you're an orderly man. I'm so proud to be your daughter. You know, you are fantastic." And you say, "Herb, that's a lot of poppycock. You know, that's a lot of joke, joke, joke." No, it isn't. That same simplicity, that same looking beyond appearances to the reality that's just around the corner, is true for healing too. People have told me they have colds, and I'll say, "I see you holding perfect." People have told me they have this, that, and I myself experience a stubbed toe or something now and then, and I'll say, "I'm holding perfect," instantly. And you have to do that. People have come to me with bad backs. They say, "Oh, I have a bad back." Our insurance agent came, and her boyfriend had a bad back, and he has to lay on the floor because his back is hurting him so. And so I said to him, I said, "I see your back holding perfect." He said, "Boy, I wish it were." I said, "Well, I see it holding perfect." "Well, how do you know what to see it?" And I said, "Well, that's what we are up here. We're a healing center, and we see all things whole and perfect." "Oh, I should come up here." I said, "You are. And that's why I'm talking to you. Everything's whole and perfect." You see? He rode around on the golf cart with me, and he didn't realize that he was going through a healing treatment all the time. And his girlfriend was going through a healing treatment too. She didn't realize it. She may treat us quite differently. We've had a number of people who have been our agents in many things, real estate, insurance, web making and stuff like that, and financial counseling. We've had them, and they all felt superior to us because they were doing a job for us. And they felt superior because their job was superior to anything we did, or else we would have done it ourselves. They didn't realize that we were hiring their service because we could do it ourselves, and we chose them. And every time we dealt with them, we saw them whole and perfect. We saw them having a happy family relationships. We saw them in harmony with themselves. We saw them successful in their business. We saw them everything. And even when the money market went kaput, you know, we continued to believe in them and saw them whole and perfect. And they thought that they were blessing us. They thought that they were honoring us, which they were. But they were honoring us only because they were honoring themselves. But you see, you go to a doctor, and the doctor says, "I am the doctor, and I know what is best for you." And my wife went to the doctor and got some medicine, and the doctor says, "I know what is best for you." And then my wife went back to the doctor. She says, "Doctor, the medicine you're giving me is causing me a terrible diarrhea. I cannot go anywhere without looking for a bathroom first, you know. And that's not right. The medicine is not right." And the doctor says, "I told you what it is, and it's right." And she says, "It is not right, and I want it adjusted. And if you don't adjust it, I will find another doctor." And the doctor says, well. So he adjusted it, and it still didn't work. So he adjusted it again, and miracle upon miracle, it worked. And it did everything it was supposed to do, plus it did not have the side effect of diarrhea. And so for the first time in years, she is able to travel around the country without looking for a bathroom first. I mean, that is tremendous. That is tremendous. But the doctor, I know what's best for you. You know what should be done and what can be done for the treatment you're giving me, but you don't know what's best for me because you're not living inside of me. I know what I want to happen, and you will experiment with me on the various things that will do what I want to happen, and they will do what you want to happen. We work together as a team. I am not opposed to you. I'm merely saying there's got to be a better way than me looking for a bathroom all the time. And so he found it finally after years, after many years. And now she is a different person, a different person. She hasn't changed in a lot of different ways, but she's a different person. She is now a happy person, and that's beautiful. You see, we are our own physician. We are our own metaphysician. We are our own healer. And it's up to us to start taking responsibility for this healing, take responsibility for our attitudes, take responsibility for the results that we get. We say here, in teaching healing, we are a tough example. And you bet your life, we are a tough example. Because we live what we believe. And if you don't live what you believe, then roll it up. Roll it up. Dig yourself a 6-foot hole and jump in and pull in the dirt after you. Because you're dead. If you're not living a happy, harmonious, fulfilled life, you're dead. And it's all by our choice. And it doesn't just go for me, it goes for all of my creation. And my creation's 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 creation's. Isn't that wonderful? Think about it. I love you. I think you're great. I think you're wonderful. I think you're fabulous. I love you. I love you. I love you.